Welcome to the Middle Church Podcast, a multicultural, multi-ethnic, intergenerational movement of spirit and justice, powered by revolutionary love with room for everyone. No matter where you are, how you look, or who you love, we pray this podcast will help you on your journey. Here's this week's sermon.
Friends, there are so many of these sayings from this female deity that seem to contradict each other. Like the Jesus in the Gospel of John, this deity whom we'll call her Thunder for today, holds both honor and shame, for instance. But some of you have heard me preach on this and know that how we have noticed the actual contradictions are actually putting in intentionally these things together, pulling them together for what it means and also what the world may think it means to be a woman, and pulling together what we are and what is put upon us. By putting these in conversation with each other, we are forced to accept them completely, to accept the wide variety of things that make us whole. Now, as I think about all of these seemingly dichotomous themes that we see in Thunder, I find myself wrestling with the idea of the misbehaving woman versus the virtuous woman. Now, as a child, as a girl where women...
First child, me.
A girl where women are raised to be caretakers or caregivers, that type A personality, that get everything rightness, a recovering perfectionist. That version of me used to really resonate with the virtuous woman. Do you all know the virtuous woman? The woman who the community upholds, a Proverbs 31 woman. In my community, there were even t-shirts, the Proverbs 31 woman. I always felt like I fell short. I never got the t-shirt. Meanwhile, we have the woman in the Song of Songs, aka the Song of Solomon.
Oh, yes, the Song of Solomon. That awkward book in the Bible we hope to skip and we certainly don't preach. Even I, when Natalie was like, "Hey, Amanda, how about we do Song of Solomon with this text?" I was like, "No." I was like, "No, that's okay." But honestly, living into what the patriarchy and whiteness define as to what's considered valuable and academic, right? It's easy to pass this up and skip this over. This 8-chapter book in the Old Testament, which, by the way, includes the longest time in the entire Bible we hear a woman's voice. Jewish and Christian traditions explain the inclusion of this book by relegating it to a metaphor for the love between God and Israel, or Christ and the church. How many of you heard that if you grew up hearing this, right? Yes, for this book to be canonized, that means included in what makes the cut for the Bible, it has to be anything other than a love poem about a beautiful black woman who, full of desire and prophetic imagination for the kind of love she demands, is actually love personified. But that's exactly what it is. Our protagonist is a Shulamite woman brought to King Solomon's court to be part of his harem, who is unabashedly in love with a young shepherd from her homeland. As we move through the entire 8 chapters, we begin to see that this is a book written for women who have the audacity to be something different. For those who dare to let love entice them from safe spaces, whether it be those familiar rhythms of the patriarchy or other oppressing confines that society tries hard to make us think are the only ways of being, into more questions, possibilities, and newfound freedoms where reckless love calls us. The Shulamite woman crafts her own way of being. She shows up with all of who she is in all her intersectional identities. Did you hear some of them? Sexual and wise, sleeping and keenly awake, black and beautiful, rage as hot as fire, and love as strong as death, sex positive and curious, a dividing wall and a city of peace. I want to go back to Black and Beautiful for just a moment. The Septuagint, which is the oldest Greek translation of the Holy Bible, has this written for that phrase. I'm not going to try to say it. Natalie might. But here it is in Greek. Online folks, we'll make sure you can see this if you can't see it right here. But this little conjunction, chi, is translated and every time in the Bible, except for right here. The King James Version uses it and puts it as what? But. As but. That's the problem, right? The ancient author, however, clearly meant for it to be and, because there are many, many translations before King James where this was translated as and. Now, the King James Version was written in 1611, just a few years before the first enslaved Africans would land in Virginia, which we just have to put in that category of things that make you go, Or as Natalie rightly teaches, let us not forget that race is always at play. Now, what difference does it make if we read this as Black and Beautiful versus Black but Beautiful? And what other adjectives might we swap in and out that profoundly define how we view ourselves with the conjunction and rather than but? Make no mistake, God is a God of ands.
Our title, Misbehaving Women, I'm sure you noticed, is playing off of a famous quote from Laurel Thatcher Ulrich, which is, well-behaved women rarely make history. It is important to note that this historian responsible for these words was making a point about how there are women who have done virtuous work which history has overlooked in favor of rebels. Is there room for the virtuous woman, and what even is that? Well, simply put, from my viewpoint, it's a creation from society that oppresses and objectifies and patronizes women. As I was preparing for this sermon, I read again Proverbs 31, and it had been a while because this text is attached to so much that weighed me down in my youth, something to aspire to that was rooted in patriarchy and sexism and oppression. So imagine my surprise when I read the version in the NRSV UE. The NRSV continues to retranslate our ancient texts in light of new discoveries that we make about the ancient languages in which they were written. So the UE is just the updated edition, the most recent one having, I think, 20,000 new updates to our translations. So where the red letter King James Version used to read, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" scholars have learned enough about the ancient language in which it was written to translate it anew. A woman of strength, who can find? Thanks be to God for the scholars who continue to do the work of reaching back into these ancient times to dig us out of the misogyny and patriarchy that we've stacked on top of these texts. I thought it might be a bit much to read three scriptures this morning, but I encourage you to read it again. Perhaps a Proverbs 31 woman is a misbehaving woman as well. But again, that's for another sermon. For today, we hold a woman of strength with a woman who expresses her sexuality and who proudly claims her dark skin, and with a deity who reminds us, forces us even, to see more depth in women, because we contain multitudes. Is there space for all of it? Maybe the woman in Song of Songs and the Proverbs 31 woman are all misbehaving in their own way. This is what the Thunder Perfect Mind is trying to teach us. We do indeed contain multitudes.
Yes, multitudes indeed. The protagonist in our Song of Songs doesn't legislate how we should be, but rather invites us into an experience that is deeply personal, inspiring, and awakening. She doesn't prescribe one way of being, but gives voice to the experience of one woman. Mm-hmm. And in so doing, gives each of us permission to voice our own, often buried and repressed experiences. Generations have tried so hard to make this anything but an expression of a woman's right to foray into pleasure, sex positivity, and enlightenment as a way to control our bodies, minds, and futures. And truly remarkable is that The Shulamite woman personifies love free from the confines of reproduction. Mm-hmm. So clearly, we can't talk about this book right now on, what is it, March 3rd, 2024, without acknowledging what the Alabama Supreme Court just did, calling frozen embryos children. Now, why does the Christian right, we might be a little confused, who is all about motherhood, right? That's our number one responsibility. Mm-hmm. So why would they be attacking IVF? Because they're actually not all about motherhood, friends. Mm-hmm. What they really want is a social order where women are second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. And forced childbirth is one way to make women second class. Legislating who can have children and how is another. The Christian right will ban anything that gives women autonomy over our lives. Amanda Marquette wrote about this in Salon this week. This is her quote. Conservatives view IVF as a cheat code for feminists who want to have children on their own terms. Mm-hmm. They prefer a system where the only path to motherhood is being trapped with a Trump-voting husband who controls your checking account. Whoop. And friends, the Christian right is also threatened by who, in addition to anyone who, fill in the blank, well, wants or needs to, utilizes IVF and other reproductive technologies. Single people, older people, lesbians, non-binary people. None of this fits with the ancient reading of the Proverbs 31 woman, nor who white straight men need women to be to continue feeling good about themselves. The women in our text today show us that God desires a different way for us all. God calls us to bring all of who we are to all the places, even and especially when it's too much.
Because the point is not whether you are remembered. The goal is not trying to be remembered. The point and the goal is to be so convicted in your spirit that disruptive behavior to the status quo is the manifestation of that conviction. It may end up being a little splash in your pond, but the ripples are unimaginable.
Society will always try to tell us we're not good enough, that we should diminish some parts of ourselves, our too loud parts, our too brown or black or indigenous parts, our too Jewish parts, our too curious parts, our too blonde or southern parts, our too vulnerable parts. But we wonder what happens when we show up in our multitudes. Natalie and I noticed that the gospel lectionary for today is the story of Jesus flipping the tables over in the temple, aka getting into some good trouble. It strikes us that when we show up as our full selves in our full God-given identities, that in and of itself is good trouble to a world hell-bent on keeping women, especially black women, small.
These rule breakers in these texts defy legalism in favor of love. They choose to follow God rather than the law. They do what is righteous and moral over what is deemed right or good by our legal system. Can I give you an example from our not-so-distant history? This is not one from the first or second century, but from 1968, when Eartha Kitt, who was famous at that time for her portrayal of Catwoman and her sultry holiday hit, Santa Baby, caused such a ruckus at Lady Bird Johnson's tea party that she was blackballed for a decade. Her sin? Speaking out against the Vietnam War. When she was later interviewed by the Washington Post during her comeback to Broadway in Timbuktu, she said that there was not a thing in her life that she would do differently. To her, they were all opportunities to learn. She wasn't afraid of any part of life. She not only swam the length of life, but the depth as well. She contained multitudes. Today, how many have we witnessed lose their jobs for speaking out against what is happening with Israel and Palestine, for calling for a ceasefire? We may not remember their names, but we know this is good trouble. And can you imagine a librarian with an afro who encourages kids to see themselves as belonging to the library, who encourages kids to see the fun in the public library? Would you imagine the stir that caused? Some of them might be called rule breakers, some of them might be called virtuous, but at the end of the day, they are all causing good trouble. Their own way, they are misbehaving. On this first Sunday of Women's History Month, on this Lenten Sunday, consider where in your life you could use a little righteous misbehaving. Where could your life be infused with some good trouble? Where are you the Song of Songs type, or the Proverbs 31 type, or the Temple Tantrum type? Take a page from the Thunder Perfect Mind and hold the fullness of yourself, even the parts others might think don't go together, or they might think don't make sense, or just flat out don't like. That's okay. It doesn't have to make sense to anybody but you. And everybody ain't gonna like everything. Your moral compass doesn't need to align with the world. Align it with God. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening, friends. To learn more about Middle Church, visit middlechurch.org. You can help grow this movement of love and justice by rating us on Apple or Spotify and by sharing this episode with a friend or two. Send us an email at info@middlechurch.org if you have any questions or comments. We hope you'll come back next week. Bye for now.